tonight, Sunday morning, 1724. This is just a teaching called How to Solve Problems. How to Solve Problems. We're going to look how God did it. You know, I was thinking about the helmet of salvation. It covers the mind. There's the problem, the mind, right there. All of us dealing with the mind. All right, Genesis 1. All right, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, great. How did he do it? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? We got a puppet in the White House portraying a part. I realize that. But what does it cost? Most of President Trump's speech, whichever President Trump it is at the time, which was two different ones yesterday, it's all about the bumbling, stumbling, blubbering idiot in the White House and all that he's done. Everything's void and darkness. Doom and gloom. We're going to hell. We're a nation in decline. But what do we do about that? Right here. The earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. It's pretty dark down here. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He's out there looking at the situation, hovering over the problem. It says here, Strong's, to brood or think deeply. He's considering all that's going on. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when certain things come against our lives, what do? If we will allow the Holy Spirit to consider it, brood over it, and we do nothing till we hear the word to speak over the situation. The very few times, sadly to say, in my life that that's happened to me, something happened immediately. Within 24 hours, there was just the opposite. See, this is about that waiting on the Lord, because really, everything that we'll ever need has already been put inside of us through salvation. And the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our friend. He is the one there that knows all about you, everything you're experiencing, and he is there to help you. Like he says, we're praying, you know, in the Spirit, because it helps our infirmities. This is our areas that we don't know what to do. All right, what did God see? No form, void, darkness. But he saw the Holy Spirit moving over the situation. Moved means to brood or think deeply. See, the devil wants to incite you to start blabbing. Blab it and grab it. You just start blabbing. And you don't really get any results. It's just a fleshly. Like I've heard, I guess, Brother Cap say, you might as well be praying the rosary. It probably wasn't Brother Cap, but just get over it, it'll be all right. Anyway, Danny said that. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why. Well, that ought to be a compliment. The Lord said that. He said that to him. Okay. Sorry, I missed it. But you know what? To compare you to somebody that spoke to a fish with a lure in his mouth that he drops in his boat, I think that's somebody he could follow. But anyway. Seemed like he knew how to do it right. All right. God saw it, and the Spirit was deeply thinking about it. God's Spirit was forming a picture over the adversity. He was forming a picture of what he wanted. He was seeing an inward vision of what he wanted. Now, I know today in the New Agey Christian movement, it's all envisioning. Well, we'll use that word because really it's the same thing. You're seeing on the inside of you what you want because that's where you produce. See here? They're connected. Proverbs 4 talks about. In fact, let's just go there. I didn't put that down, but that's a very good... Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, even though you're seeing the void and the darkness and no farm. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is your mind. This is your product. That's where you produce. It's how God made you. For their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from the froward mouth. You don't want to just start speaking. Just speaking junk that doesn't happen. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips spit far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. In other words, don't let the farm, void and darkness dissuade you. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What's the purpose of them? Get you to, you took your hand off the plow. Boy, your field's a mess. So is mine. Looked like we were drunk when we were plowing because we kept taking our hand off the plow because the devil's bringing all these distractions. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Right here, chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb and her mouth is smooth than oil. It sounds good to confess for hours till you're about to fall out on the floor. Is it doing any good? All God said was light be. All right. God spoke what he wanted, and he got exactly what he wanted. When the picture was complete. I looked for my book by Mike Murdoch called How I Learned to Meditate. I couldn't find it. This is how God created all. Verse 5, God called it. Verse 6, God said. Verse 8, God called. Verse 9, God said. Verse 10, God said. Verse 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 21, God created. I looked at created. It means absolutely to create. Qualified to cut down wood, select, feed as a formative process. In other words, a building project. You get the blueprints on the inside of you. You get what you want inside. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, now speak. Light be. Light was. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But it is a discipline. All right? It's a building project, isn't it? It's a building project. God saw no farm, void, darkness. What did he do? He built the new earth and the heaven. All right, verse 24, God said, God made, it says, God made. I didn't write down the verse. Made here means produce, put together various ingredients. All right, we're going to look over in the New Testament. Hebrews 1. You would be better to sit and say nothing. Sit, lay back in your recliner, and imagine what you want. Then wearing yourself out with confessions. The Lord warned us about the confessions that we make, to make them like they've already happened. Because it's not about how many times you say it. You just need to really say it once. If you make the right connection, you only need once. We didn't come back 100 years later and God's still saying, I said, be this. I said, be that. No. What he said still here. Hebrews 1. Went past it. Where's my Hebrews? It left. All right. Verse 1 here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So God, what he speaks, it remains. He made the world by just what I said to you. God said, and it was. He went through the process. Okay, let's go to, I missed a little bit here. Let's go to John 1, then we'll come back. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He made all things by his Word. But he got the picture on the inside of him first before his spirit prompted him, speak. Listen to your spirit. It will not guide you wrong. It'll prevent you from wasting so much time and getting so frustrated, because isn't that why we get frustrated? Well, we've been praying this and speaking this and saying this for years and it still hasn't come to pass. Well, I guess we haven't done the process right, you think? You might revisit about that. But you cannot go wrong with that by getting that picture in your mind of what you want. Didn't he say nothing is impossible with God? Nothing. I don't care if you're envisioning a mansion. It's not impossible. Not with God. Whatever it is. He made all things by his word. How did God solve his problem? He said he made it by his word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's pretty cool. He said he made it by his word. God made, God said, God said, God said it, God called it, and God made it. I just read that to you. Now, where's that in the Word became flesh? Where is that? Is that?
John 1:14.
Same. All right, I need to read that. All right, right here. Let me pick up, wait a minute. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, it's not by confession list. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How was Jesus conceived? Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Conception happened immediately. If she'd have said, nah, like old Zacharias, you know. All right, Romans 4. We're going to start with 13 there. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Isn't that what natural confessions do? It's kind of like a law that you're thinking you're working, but you're really not working anything. Now, I will say this about confession. It will renew your mind. It will renew your mind. For that purpose, yeah. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the father of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. What did he consider? God gave him something to consider, the stars. So that's where your seed will be. That was what God gave him to look at, not his inadequacy in his body, or Sarah, where he talks about Sarah. His own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And it's not just for Abraham, right here. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith with peace through God, peace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, this needs to be a graceful thing that we do, not a tedious thing that just wears us out and keeps us worn out. Can't pray enough, can't read enough. Well, if we do it God's way, we wouldn't be wore out, would we? That's that old religious training in us. We want to revert back to, because we're desperate at times. God is a faith God, and he has made us in his own image and likeness. That's Genesis 1, 26 through 28. In his likeness and image. That's how he told Adam to go and subdue, keep things in order, was by that method. All right. God is a faith God, and he has made us in his image and likeness to use our faith for whatever situation we find ourselves in. When we do it any other way, he is not pleased with that. The only way to have success, as God had success, and Jesus had success, is by faith. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, it's not from outward things. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His very blood cried out. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. That sounds good to me. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he has a reward of them that diligently seek him. I can't tell you how many people I've given God's medicine to that have taken it and they've read it and everything and they died. How does that make you feel? Because it's not about a meaning and a method. It's about what goes on in here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All these situations in Hebrews are all situations. These are real people that face real situations just like we do today. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm telling you what, it wasn't that land, that was heaven. That's what the New Jerusalem, that's what he's looking for. A heavenly. Foundations and builder and maker is God. It's a New Jerusalem. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And don't feel bad, you know, if you've missed it because, you know, she laughed. And the Lord rebuked her for it. But it came to pass. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Kingdom. Kingdom. We don't even know yet the real operation of the kingdom of God. Can you imagine getting a hold of this and you start creating things around you? I think that's how this is going to turn around quickly because we're getting a hold of the real deal. But now they desire a better country. Me too. That is in heavenly. Isn't that what the kingdom of God is? And it's in you? Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. We have prepared a city for them, or a city. Hey, I'm liking this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, because Abraham walked by faith, what God told him to do, he said, can't go wrong with God, so I'm going to do what he says. He'll make good, because that's my only heir. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon top of his staff. I believe they got a vision from God. What to say? If you notice about all these Old Testament elders, they called them in and they talked to each one of them. And it happened just exactly what they said. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had the throne. He'd rather have God's throne. He'd rather be reigning from God's throne. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. An eternal kingdom as opposed to the riches of this world. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, while the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, for they were compassed about 7 days. All of this was done under specific instructions from God. It wasn't just something they pulled out of their hat or they thought they'd do that day. By faith, the harlot Rahab was perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, David also, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenching the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Whether they be UFO aliens or illegal aliens or whatever. But you have to understand here, this was not a fleshly act. This was a supernatural act. They all did it supernaturally. They had a word from God. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, more were bonds and imprisonments. I just caught that. A better resurrection. It talks about that over there in the Great White Throne Judgment, I believe. There's a certain reward for those that give their life. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. And in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he's saying, you know, look what Jesus went through. Don't, you know, you're not being asked to give up your life. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every man whom he receiveth. You know, just acting out in the flesh just won't do it. It just won't do it. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's saying to us this morning. Take the time to wait. You know, they that wait upon the Lord. John knew their strength. Take the time to wait. Take the time to hear from God. And then you can act. When he gives you the plan or gives you the word, you can speak. All right, let's keep going here. It's rough on the body, I know. When you've been raised your whole life, it's flesh, everything flesh. Yeah, it's hard to lay that old flesh aside and say, shut up. Just shut up. You're dead. The path that we are to follow is the pathway of faith. That is how God did it. Jesus did it. The Old Testament saints did it. And now the New Testament saints must do it also. Jesus was our example. He gave the example to the disciples. We'll look at Mark 11. You know what? When you get to the place that you do it this way, you won't have to look back to see if it changed either. 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree off, far off, having leaves, he came to if he happily might find a thing thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, forever. And his disciples heard it. Did he just say that off the top of his head? No. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. Do you know the act of faith is a God operation? It isn't a fleshly operation. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, that's in your mind, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I can tell you this, when God speaks to you that way, there won't be no doubt. There'll be such a peace, nothing can shake it out of you. Nothing. And it will happen. All right, it's not just a blab it and a grab it. No, it takes meditation, forming an inner picture in your mind of what you want and waiting on the Holy Spirit to give the word and for you to speak it out. With my little granddaughter that day, I had agonized for weeks. Dana wanted me to pick a birth family, and I just couldn't do it. I was looking through these pictures, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I know that you've grafted us in, and I know adoption's a good thing, but I can't do this. And it was just agonizing. Till one day, the Holy Spirit says, you draw a line, and you say, blah, blah, blah. And I did physically. I did this. I did a line just like that. And I said, Holy Spirit, this birth father will stop this adoption. He had just been oblivious, didn't care, give a hoot up until this point. The next day, I have the maternity home calling me, come get your daughter. The father has stopped the adoption. See, I agonized. And I went through agony in my spirit over this situation, praying about it, but I didn't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit said, stand up and draw that line and say this. And I did, and it happened. It was a spirit operation. See, the Lord wants to take a lot of our stress away by resting more in Him and allowing this process to take place, because this is a supernatural process. It's not a work. I hope I get that across to y'all today. All right. A lot less confession in the flesh and a lot more allowing the Spirit to brood over your situation and renew your mind until you see it God's way. Usually that's it. It's when this comes in line with His will. This is what's messed up. That's why the devil targets that. Yeah. All things are already yours, but you're not going to attain it by fleshly rituals. You're just not going to. If I just say it enough, this is a spirit-connected operation. God uses it. Jesus uses it, and we're supposed to use it. All that we will ever leave or ever have need of is already in us, and we through the Spirit will bring it into the natural world just like God did and Jesus did. We're made just like Him. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are y'all getting this? It's kind of like laying back in your recliner and thinking about a Hawaiian vacation, you know. Here's the soft winds blowing and the palm trees swaying in the wind and the music, the ukulele playing, you know, all this. If we can do that, just naturally speaking, we can do that with the things that we desire from God, right? All right, 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's start with 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And he's not talking about a building. See, so much has been placed on the religious institution. You're not going to see no power to do nothing. It's just a worldly, fleshly institution doing natural stuff. They may be those that he says, well, didn't we prophesy in your name? We had huge programs and we sent food all over the world and did all these things. He said, I don't know you. Because it's by the Spirit. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Rather, Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. He's given you the kingdom. But it's not a fleshly kingdom. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's an inside operation, all of it, inside. If anything I can stress today, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us for months about it, about the inside operation, doing the inner work. That goes with everything. We're so used to, as humans, just reacting in the flesh all the time about everything, even churchy things. And I'm not pointing at anybody because we've all been guilty of it. All right. Spiritual men working spiritual principles to receive spiritual answers, not fleshly men working fleshly principles to get fleshly answers. That is how the church has adopted the witch doctors and saying it's God. And they really believe it. Well, God uses medicine. Well, no, he doesn't. He don't need it. And when you connect with him, you don't need it either. That's the problem. So much of the church is so ingrained in that, they can't let go of it. It's an inside operation, born again inside, filled with the Spirit inside, with a spiritual language that flows out of you from the inside. So does faith. It's a spiritual force, not a natural force. Yeah, people can have natural human faith, and we just praise that. But it don't move mountains. All right. Living from the inside out, not the outside in. It's all an inside job. An inside job. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. I mean that in a good sense. It's an inside job. All right, Galatians 5. Didn't Paul write Galatians? He talked to us about the works of the flesh. All right, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what's the yoke of bondage? The flesh. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. This is a spiritual walk, and it's the walk of faith. For ye through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, these are works of the flesh, nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is what I started out with. The whole church has been compromised. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will come to none other otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. These are people trying to infiltrate into the church what he's trying to teach as doctrine from the Holy Spirit, and they're coming in and trying to counter it with works. The devil's still doing it today. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In other words, there must have been a lot of fighting going on about it. This I say then, walking, that's why you let the apostles handle it. You don't take it into your own hands. That's what the apostles are supposed to do, keep things in order. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, if you're following the Spirit, you don't have to be concerned about that at all. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can't. Fleshly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then he goes on to talk about, brethren, if any man is overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore them. In other words, all this infighting in the church, let the leaders handle it. They're graced to do so, not people interfighting. That's what he was dealing with here. All right. Let's keep going here. Well, let me just say this. I believe it would be better to say nothing at all until you have done the inner work and received the word from the Holy Ghost, and then you're authorized to speak to your situation and expect it to change. All the works of the flesh do one thing: get you discouraged, tired, and ready to quit. I just know what else to do. That's because you're done it, right? Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do. Tap into it. Paul encouraged Timothy with this, 1 Timothy 4. Verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of my hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, if we'll do these things, I believe we'll see a change. Be a lot more rested. Right here, meditate means to revolve in the mind. You can think about other things, like, well, I'd like to change something in the house, and I'm just sitting there thinking about, what would I do? If you can do that, you can do this. It's just about spiritual matters. Before you can speak it, you must see it. See yourself healed, well, prosperous, etc. This is how God did it, the way Jesus did it, and the way we're supposed to do it. God said it, he called it, and he made it. This is so powerful, Jesus warned us not to use our words flippantly or in the negative. All right, a couple more scriptures and we will be done. Matthew 6. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. All right, 2 Peter. 2 Peter talked about the day star. 2 Peter 1:19. Let's just start with 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the word of God was delivered through this revelation. That's the way we need to hear. We need to hear revelation from God about our situation. All right, divine revelation about our situation. Something will rise up or peace will come. I know a few times it's happened to me where I didn't have any word, but I had all of a sudden this peace just welled up in me, and I just knew, it's done. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Don't even have to give it another thought. All right, I hope this encouraged you today. Yes. Good.